Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Now we're going to turn to Exodus 20. If you've got your King James Bibles, I'll give you the Prince James Version because there's a massive story in there leading up to it. But basically, leading up to this passage, Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt, where they've been under slavery for years and years and decades and decades. And God sent Moses to set them free. So what we see is this love of God in action, calling his people back to him. So Moses, through the miracles of God and through the wonders of God and through the power of God, convinced the Pharaoh, or forces his hand because of all the plagues that were happening in Egypt, finally gets the Israelites out of Egypt. And they start journeying with Moses, following the Lord. So we see this love in action because the Lord is bringing his people to the promised land. And then in the process, the Pharaoh decides, through his pride, you know what, this is not right. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to destroy them. He starts journeying his way, following the Israelites. And we see a great miracle as they come to the Red Sea. The Israelites are panicking. And the Lord says to Moses, stretch out your hand and I'll part the sea. And then through that, the Israelites walk through this parted sea with the Egyptians following them closely. And as they get towards the end, the waters start to flood across again, destroying all the Egyptians in the process. And you can just imagine the Israelites who have been held in slavery for all these years under authoritative figures and strict regimes, not understanding where they're going or comprehending what's happening, seeing this beautiful miracle before the Lord that they've been set free. And then in one of those passages, Miriam, Moses' sister, sings a beautiful song of worship, of love and adoration of the great King, of how he has redeemed them and he has delivered them from slavery. So we see this understanding of the love of God come through these Israelites, that some God has come to help them set them free, that their own God has done that. And then as they start to establish their community, we begin to come to a time where the Lord reveals himself to the Israelites, reveals his heart to the Israelites. And he starts telling Moses, prepare your people, bro. I'm going to come to the mountain. Prepare your people. I've got to reveal myself to them. So you can see this expectation and desire that's beginning to build up in the Lord's heart because he's finally coming for his people. He says, I've delivered you on the wings of eagles and I'm going to call you to be my treasured possession. All these words wrapped in love. Consecrate them. Set them apart, for they will come to me and I'll call them my own. And Moses does that. He starts preparing the people. But then the Lord says, you know, build limits around the mountain so that the people don't force their way in, because I need to protect them. Because if they come close, they'll be destroyed. Now, I don't know why, but it's probably because their bodies couldn't handle the glory or whatever it may be, but the Lord was protecting them, not keeping them away. He was saying, I'm going to protect them and I want to reveal myself before them and I'm going to reveal my heart to them. And then this is where in the story we see the covenant be established and the Ten Commandments being come and handed to Moses, which is all wrapped in love. Words of love of the Lord your God. Words of honor. Words of community, look after each other. Do not covet, do not steal, do not commit adultery, all these things. So the Lord reveals his heart. But then in Exodus 20, we see the response from the Israelites. So as Moses begins to receive from the Lord and the Israelites are witnessing this glory, we see this picture. Imagine a mountain, right? This is a massive mountain. So all we can see is just a picture. But the Lord comes in fire. Smoke begins to build up around the mountain. And that's what they're seeing. They're feeling the trembles underneath them. The ground begins to shake as the Lord descends on the mountain. You can imagine just witnessing this. There's a fear that's coming. Like, what's going on? They're feeling it in their bones as the glory of the Lord descends on the mountain. And these people are standing on the edges around the limits because that's what they've been told. And then Moses approaches the Lord into the thick cloud and disappears somewhere. And the Israelites are still remaining back. And he says in Exodus 20, verse 18 to 20, after the Ten Commandments been passed down, when the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Again, the people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. I want to highlight something here because in the greatest revelation of God to a big group of people, we begin to see the greatest tragedy that happens in the same time. While they witness the fear of the Lord and the holiness of God that maybe no one else has seen before, they also forgot the love of God in that process. We see Miriam singing a beautiful worship song and they delivered out of Egypt, but as soon as they see the holiness and awe of God, they forgot the love of God. And then that became the flavor of their relationship. The reason why I said it's speak to us, Moses, and I will listen to you. It's no different to me saying, Steve, I will listen to you, whatever you say on the pulpit, but don't let God speak to me himself. While he may have some insights, the reality is God calls us close. And someone told me, do not live off someone else's ministry. We could be inspired and encouraged and built up, but the reality is we need to have our own standing in with God. They remained at a distance. The people remained at a distance. And while Moses says, the fear of the Lord will keep you from sinning, but you know what? The love of God will keep you on track. Because we see later on in Exodus, when Moses disappears because they were living off his ministry, they start to build a golden calf. So they have something to touch, something close, something that they could see. Because they were missing out on the love of God. They were missing out on coming to God. So in the greatest reveal of God in the Old Testament, in Exodus, we see this beautiful story of Israelites witnessing their king. But in the process, they decided, I'm going to stay back. I'm too scared that I'll be destroyed, which is a reality. But they completely forgot the love of God in the process. Which brings me to my second bedrock that I want to stand on. The Lord says, come to me and I'll overcome your lack. So the Israelites understood that there was no other God like him. And they had the privilege of walking with him. But there was a lack that they needed to be filled within them. And that is what caused them to stumble across the journey. Me counting the costs is what causes me to stumble across my journey, but the grace of the Lord helps me get back up. And too often, the areas that we struggle with in our lives are the areas that we lack in God. The areas that we struggle with in life or wrestle with are the areas that we struggle with or lack with in God. Because we have been created as beings for relationship with God. And we have been created with an intent to match what God could give us. So when we don't receive that from the Lord, we look for it in other places. If you don't believe me, then think about people without the love of God. They are looking for love through people, through things, through identity, through career aspirations, through purpose, whatever it may be. Different gods, different idols. What we are struggling with in life often is what we lack in with God. So my encouragement to you today, if you are listening, is come to the Lord and He will overcome your lack, because He's going to fulfill things in your heart, in your spirit, in your life that you are yearning for. It is often those things that the devil puts pebbles against us to try to get us distracted and walk along the wrong way. So I encourage you, whatever it may be today that you're wrestling with, is it doubt? Is it doubt that God is real? How do you know which one is which? Which way is the right way? And I encourage you, come to the Lord and He will fulfill that. That's what happened to me. As a 12-year-old, I was in the congregation listening to testimonies, and people were saying, you know, the Lord's done this in my life, been healed from cancer, I've experienced all this. And as a 12-year-old, I came to a conclusion that either they are lying, all these people are lying, or I haven't experienced you yet. So I said to God, reveal yourself to me so I know you're real. And I gave Him 1 year. And within that year, He revealed Himself in the greatest of ways, that it is the only reason that I'm here today. So whatever doubt I had became eradicated because I came to Him with that. Now flip the script. I could have said, I'm not sure if He's real, and tried other things. Gone to my friends for some insights of what they do, listen to what they think and what they believe, and that would take me off track. But because the first response I did was coming to God, He fulfilled that doubt. So what is it that you hold, that you struggle with? Is it independence, control? Are you looking to control the outcomes of your life and the path that you walk? And then when things get a bit out of line, you start to struggle because your security is in your outcomes. What happens when that person walks away from the relationship? What happens when you lose your job? What happens when you finish uni and that there's no options available for you? What happens when things go wrong? What happens when you get a bad medical report? Come to God and He will overcome your lack. Is it fear? Like the Israelites, they feared the Lord, but they allowed that fear to stop them from coming to Him. Is it the wrong fear? To be afraid of the Lord because He's going to expose you. Well, whatever you expose to the Lord, He will cover because of His love. But whatever you don't, He will expose. Because at the end of the day, He loves you. And He's calling you to Him. So I encourage you, come to God and He will overcome your lack. Come to God and He will reveal Himself to you. Some of you need to encounter the holiness of God, and some of you need to experience the love of God today. And I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking and moving today, highlighting areas of your life and your walk and your approach, and asking you to surrender that and come to Him today. And I want to encourage you with a story of Moses in Exodus 3, which leads up to the Lord sending Moses to the Egyptian to send His people, to save His people, sorry. The reason why I want to show you Exodus is I want to see how the Lord sets up Moses on this great journey as he comes close. It says in Exodus 3, verse 10 to 14, as Moses comes to the burning bush, he begins to witness God, and he says, I'm the God of your father. And he starts pouring out his heart to Moses, saying, I hear the cries of my people, I'm sending you. I hear the cries of my people, I'm sending you. And in verse 10, he says, now go, I am sending you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Fair question. But the great thing is he's saying that to the Lord. Who am I to do this? And what does God say? I will be with you. I will be with you, and this will be a sign that you to you that it is I who have sent you. When you brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain, which is where God revealed himself to the Israelites. Then Moses keeps going. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. I am. I am. I am. I am he. I am everything. I am the ultimate person that you want to be with you. I am. What a statement. What a statement. And then throughout the Bible, we begin to see the names of the Lord that pops up, but they are descriptive names because he is I am. So when we come to discovering different aspects of God, my prayer is today that you'll begin to understand the different names and aspects of his nature as you run to the I am. My heart behind this message for you is to come to a place where you can worship the Lord because you understand who he is and that you don't want to remain at a distance to say that he is my provider in all things, that I could trust in him, that he is my support, that whatever he calls me to, he says, I will be with you. And I know there are people in this place who are on faith, changing jobs, handing a resignation, and stepping into places where they have no security. But the Lord says, I'll be with you. And there are other names where the Lord says, I'm your healer. So my prayer is that you come to a place where you are struggling with sickness or something, whether it's mentally, physically, spiritually, you come to the Lord and say, I need you to heal me. So that you're coming to him and he is fulfilling that lack in your life. And then you can praise him and say, you are my healer. The Lord is my shepherd. He protects me wherever I go. The Lord is calling me to be holy as he is holy. So he is my God. So in the same way the Lord reveals himself, says, I am who I am. I want you to be able to be in a position to say he is who he is. He is who he is. And that's why my heart was wrecked, because I could sense the Lord is calling people to him to be to have a revelation of who he is. And as a result, able to be one of those people that says, the Lord is good from the depths of their heart. Now, I think it's important to acknowledge that when you are not in that place, to say, yes, I know the Lord, but do I really love the Lord with all my heart? I think it's important to acknowledge that you are not if you're not. I give you permission to think that way, because then that reveals the lack that you need to fulfill. In the same way that I say, I love you, God, because I truly do, but when it comes to the holiness of God, I'm like, all right, I need to pray for myself, holy surrender, because I'm asking God to fulfill that lack of revelation and experience. And too often we hear testimonies of how the Lord has revealed himself to them and come through for them, which is encouraging. But it may not be as encouraging those people who say, I don't know about that in my life. So I'm giving you permission to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't love you as much as I want to. I'm not as surrendered to you as I want to be. I'm staying at a distance, even though I'm experiencing you in church, even though I see what you're doing, I'm remaining at a distance because I'm afraid. Because I'm afraid of what I have to give up, because I'm afraid of what I have to lose control over. I'm afraid of all these things. But right now in this moment, I give you permission to acknowledge that you may not be where you may have said you are. And that is called integrity. Because you are being real with yourself. And that allows God to come through for you. In the same way that Moses said, who am I to do this? And he's already planning it out. Suppose I go over there and say, the Lord has told me to set you free. It's like me going to the prime minister's office and just saying stuff to his face because the God said so. Who am I to do that? But then God gives him the encouragement that he needs and reveals himself before Moses and said, I will send you along with your brother. to do this for me. So what do you need to approach God today to fulfill the lack in your life? What area in your life have you acknowledged that you haven't fully experienced in the aspect of God? And I encourage you that when we do enter a time of worship, to bring that to God today. Because some of you need to understand the holiness of God, and some of you need to experience the love of God today. And the reason why we could do that is because the story is the Old Testament, and right now we are in the New Testament. And I encourage you, if you really want to understand who God is in his holiness and love, read Hebrews. Because my heart has been wrecked by the holiness of the Lord and also the love of the Lord in the language and the descriptions of how the author in Hebrews wrote about it. And I'm going to read a part of it today. But we understand that today we see the culmination of the holiness of God and the love of God is when Jesus came from heaven to earth and died on the cross for us. And the reason why it was so holy is because he was the only one that could do it. The King's Son, God's Son, the Lord of Lords came down for us and paid the ultimate price of debt so that we didn't have to pay it. And he says in Hebrews 10, that after they explain about Christ's sacrifice, and calls Jesus the high priest who has gone before us, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in 10 verse 19, since we have a confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is through his body and death. And since we have Jesus, a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to him with sincere hearts, knowing where we are, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having a heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us come to him with sincere hearts and the full assurance of faith that we understand that when we come to him through faith, which is a trust in him, as we lay down before him on the altar, God can come through and reveal himself. And then he says in further down in verse 39, maybe a reference to Mount Sinai, maybe not. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So the third point that I'm going to sit on is come close. So as you come to God, he will reveal himself to you. As you come to God, he will overcome your lack. And then God is calling you to come close. Jesus, the high priest, given us access today to approach God in his wholeness, to enter the most holy place. And that is probably in the same place that Moses was in that caused his face to glow and radiate with glory. We are to enter that same place that Moses entered because Jesus has come and torn the veil. And the truth is, only you are holding yourself back. Only I am holding myself back. In the same way God invites me to enter his most holy place, I'm trembling, I'm holding myself back because I understand if I enter in with all that I have, all that I am, the holy place, my life's going to radically change. And God's preparing my heart for that. Only we are holding ourselves back. And with this in mind, I want to give you an encouragement. We need to enter in consistently to allow God to impress on us and our hearts what he wants to do. And the reason why I say that is because today we can have an encounter with God. We can set the table for God to come, and we will. We're going to pray over things, and things are going to shift with your spirit. God's going to bring you revelations. But the truth is, it takes a while for our body to catch up. And that's why we have to steward that revelation. So enter in consistently for two reasons. The first one is to build relationship with the Lord as he reveals his heart to you. Build relationship and understand who he is in the same way he poured out his heart to Moses. It's the same way that Jesus spent time with the disciples. He could have come down, died on the cross, done, you're welcome, and left. But he poured out his heart to build relationships. And the second reason is so that we could be transformed by the renewing of our mind and the renewing of our heart.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.